This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's do it, George. That's right, George is here. King George to you guys. I should have mentioned that earlier. We got off to a bit of a start, and we didn't get to stop and welcome King George to the show. Now, of course, Brad Carson, number one program director in the country, executive producer on the J&J Show, with Jake today, his son. We're hopeful for an easy surgery for young Jake. He's got a baseball career in front of him, so that's why Brad's out. But we're happy to have King George here. Always happy to have him here. We'll reset with Grizzlies because, again, you have to look forward, right? That's the way to put the past behind you, is to look ahead. And ahead tonight is the Orlando Magic after last night's loss at Indiana. Chance for the Grizzlies to bounce back quickly here. Now, pregame's going to start right here on 929 FM ESPN starting at 5:30. This is a 6 p.m. tip. Of course, Eric Hasseltine to be on the call. And once again, your Memphis Grizzlies are the road favorite. In this case, 3.5. My man will be able to tell you whether or not that's changed. John Martin here. But those Magic, John sent me the text last night to point out to me, hey, Paolo's back and he's killing. 36 points and 10 rebounds go with 5 assists for the Orlando Magic last night as they got a win at the Hawks, 114-108. Came back from a double-digit deficit. I think it got to as many, maybe as 19 at one point. Orlando gets the win and looking good. Franz Wagner had 25 in that one. My point to Jeff Calkins this morning on his show was that this is an Orlando team that could very well be the fourth best team in the East.
Yep.
Now that Banchero is healthy, they've got him back in the fold. So again, do not let this 28-29 record fool you. This is a team that should get it together.
Yep.
And at least be somebody you don't want to necessarily see in the Eastern Conference playoffs just because of the potential of Paolo Banchero. I mean, just when he is in there, he puts up the numbers, man. Again, 36-10, he's a walking double-double, and he's doing more than that now, obviously, as a playmaker. And so this is the start of a 7-game homestand for Orlando. I'm sure I was telling Jeff, I'm sure they've told themselves, this is where we're going to make our push in terms of right here at home to start this second half of the season off, in addition to the win in Atlanta last night. So, again, got to go in with the proper level of respect. You've been good against the East, even with last night's loss, still 16-5. And with what, the Cavs after this one? Be nice to get this one in Orlando, although I know the man across from me who helps represent Paolo Banchero knows how tough this could be, how potentially dangerous tonight could be against an Orlando team that's a lot better than its record indicates.
They are, and they're pointing up, right? The arrow's pointing up for
Absolutely.
Orlando. This open, Grizzlies minus 2.5. It's out to 3.5.
Okay, I thought it was 3 or 3.5.
So that's interesting. I just feel like this is like a must-win game for the Grizzlies.
Both teams on the second night of back-to-back, as we mentioned.
Right. I just think to stabilize your organization right now, it's a must-win. This will be, if you lose this one, it's 4 or 5 you've lost, and you're going to Cleveland next, which you'd be a big underdog in that game. Now, again, they win games as underdogs. They've done that before. They'll do it again. But I just think this is a game where you're clearly the better team. You know, I mean, I don't think it's by a ton, but you are the better team. And, you know, they're banged up as well. You know, they have they're missing Mo Wagner, Franz's brother. He's out for the season. You know, they've had guys in and out of the lineup. You lose this game, man, it's like, it's not a playoff series loss. But it's a bad loss as a 3.5-point favorite in a spot like this. So I'll be very curious to see the level of urgency from the Grizzlies tonight. They had it to begin the game last night, and then they just if it dissipated over the course of the game.
Orlando is the third best defensive team in the league.
Yep.
You might not have known that. And while clearly Memphis and offensively, we know Ja's got to get it going for that to work, my focus will be, especially after giving up a 50-point quarter against Indiana last night, is you're supposed to be one of the best defensive teams in the league. Like, you know, where's that? Where was that effort last night? Where has it been in some of these recent efforts? You know, you're still, what, top seven in the league defensively? That looked gone last night as Indiana got back in the front. Didn't just get back in the game, then swung the whole game and basically ran you off the floor. And so getting that back, because we know on that end it's about effort. And a lot of that, sure, shots not dropping, effort drops, but you claim to be one of the best defensive teams in the league. It's what it says on paper. Need to see that again tonight against an Orlando team that's still, as John said, yeah, the arrow's pointed up, but they're still trying to get it back together with Bancaro in the fold. You know, start looking like some of the Grizzlies basketball we recognize. A win would go a long way in doing that. And then, yeah, maybe you look a little bit better against Cleveland. Use tonight to get Jai out of the slump. Hopefully the joy is back and you get a dub with it.
Yeah, so let's there's two things. You know, you hope that you bounce back. You hope that, you know, things continue to get better and that, you know, we have a dream of being able to hear each other through headphones, right? I mean, that's one of the things that you continue to hope happen. I think we're going to go 50% here. I think we're going to go one for two in the NBA, you're going to make a lot of money.
It's what we're saying about Ja. Things come up. Adversity
conditions
hits.
Condition's not going to be perfect
you
all
have
the time.
To push through as the pro that you are, and we will.
Right. And the good news for us is we have amazing support staff here working around the clock trying to fix this issue.
I was just about to say, like, are we putting more faith in the Grizzlies getting a win or Allen, our star engineer here?
All my faith is with Allen.
I have no idea what he said, but I
said, are we putting our faith in Grizz getting it right in the win tonight, or are we putting our more faith in Allen?
Oh, yeah,
one do you have more
for
faith
sure.
In?
Allen is a big favorite, yeah. For sure.
John can't hear King
no,
George on the other side,
and
I'm the guy that with the one pair of
earphones. You're the only guy. You're the chosen one.
That can hear
one.
Both of them.
You're the chosen one, dog.
As long as we get the message out,
yes.
And apparently it's still getting out right now.
No, right. No, what people don't understand
the message is get right
tonight. There's four headphone outlets in here, and only one of them is working.
And John's going to tell you the whole scene.
So,
sure.
Everything
we're facing.
Can you hear
Allen's
in your
on it,
you
bro.
Can hear in your headphones?
Yeah.
Recently fixed.
Got it. Okay. So
hey, man, you can go back over there. It will be like COVID days if you
no,
want
no,
to.
No, 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 no.
Remember
no,
when you
no,
were on
no,
that
no,
side
no,
of the glass?
No, no. I know go back over there.
Brad said you'd be
I know go back over there.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So that's how
that accent is strange.
No,
is that
I was
an
trying
impression
to,
of something?
I want to break it down to its simplest form, like a child, like where you could understand. I am not going back in that box.
Got it.
Ever again.
It reminds you of the COVID
right?
times.
Yeah. I got PTSD.
We were a two-man show in here, George, literally then. He had to produce and be on the show.
That's
the
right.
Same time
we could
have. Couldn't have too many people in here.
We could have Zoomed during that time. Like, we could have just both been on Zoom.
It'd been nice to know that then.
Yeah, no, we could just, like, because now we're on Zoom all the time.
Stay on task, John.
I'm not really excited about the Grizzlies right now. I mean, I'm kind of excited to talk about anything else, you know? They don't.
At what point can we come to you and to Mike and say, "What's going on?"
Oh, you can't. You can't. We're not talking about that.
Okay.
Publicly. I mean, I already did this. You know, like a couple weeks ago, or not a couple weeks ago,
I think
about a month ago.
It might be time again.
The answer's going to be the same, and I don't feel like being gaslit, so I'm not even going
to... Oh, I'm not trying to gaslight you.
No, I'm not saying you're the one doing it. The people that I'm going to talk to are going to be the ones that are gaslighting me, and I don't feel like hearing it, so, you know, because they're going to try to be like, oh, another... I'm like, oh, okay, we'll keep pretending, like,
well,
you guys want
to
do that.
Again, I guess the question really doesn't need to be asked, because as we discussed with Sane, there are people... with the right sort of advice and things that could probably help Ja through his stuff or anything that's distracting him right now or got him. They're all out there. It's sort of like we said with Penny and now with this new staff around this new AD. And until you open up those ears and you're ready to receive, it's not going to be anything.
No, you're right. It's not.
And so it doesn't matter what your agent's saying. It doesn't matter what, you know, it doesn't matter what Derrick Rose is saying. If he's still in town, he was with you. Hey, man, we got to get you. It doesn't matter if you're not in a place where you think you, you know, it can benefit you in some way. Mm-hmm. And I ain't saying fix you, mm-hmm. but benefit you. In terms, right. So it doesn't matter who's talking to you.
Point. I mean, we'll get there at some point.
It'd be nice to think there was some speech or something you could lay out to him and all this is fixed. And as we said, the joy and the fun's back. But let's be real. I mean, he's a human being. Mm-hmm. Things don't typically work that simply. And so hopefully, again, at some point, he's ready to, ready to snap out of this, whatever it is.
All right, college basketball, college rack, as the kids say. We got a couple games tonight of note. And then, of course, Memphis plays not tomorrow either. When's the last time Memphis played on a Saturday, bro?
It's been a minute.
I mean, damn. Can we get a Saturday game in Memphis, Tennessee? Yeah, even during the non-conference, I feel like they didn't play on a Sunday.
Again, so much, Saturday. So much of the Sunday is for television because you're getting that slot.
It's a terrible day. It's just a terrible day to have a basketball.
They haven't played on a Saturday since Ole Miss, it looks like.
Was that a Saturday?
Mm-hmm. Here's one, East Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. East Carolina was the last
Saturday. But it was
Saturday,
at 5 a.m.
And it is the last Saturday game.
And when was that one?
It was on January 11th.
Okay, so.
So you're done with Saturdays, bro.
Yeah, no more Saturdays.
Until the tournament.
And you may not be on there. You may not play Saturday there.
Stop.
Friday, Sunday
is the yes. What am I talking about?
Unless you got them going to the Final Four, I mean, you got them all the way.
No,
because you take that first round of the Final Four is on a Saturday.
No,
that's fine if you want to have them in, dude. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about it. Believe Memphis, you know
they will play on Saturday in the AAC tournament.
That's right.
The
semifinal.
Correct.
Yeah, you're right.
If you had me thinking like they will play on Saturday. Yeah. Then they will. They will certainly be there
a month from now. A little less than a month from now. The next Saturday game.
Yeah,
but they have to win a game
again. Still, you get the focus on Sundays. You get the ESPN2 coverage. Don't act like you don't like it.
Yeah,
it's easy to find.
No, you're right. It is.
They're getting a feature slot most Sundays. That's why they're doing it.
So Memphis won't play again until Sunday. But we do have, it's not a great slate tonight. There's two games, I think, that matter mostly.
I just saw the one rivalry game.
There's one more.
Involving two ranked opponents.
There's one more involving a Memphian, Marquette at Villanova. You know, I mean, that's not bad.
I still rock with Cam, but that team's not going to do
right
what I need it to do, is it?
No.
He's not going to have a Dwayne Wade-like run.
No. No, they're not.
They're probably not going to get past the first weekend is what I'm fearing.
Yeah, it feels correct. I mean,
some weaknesses with that Marquette.
They're the same.
Doesn't have
team
much to
they've
do with Cam.
Been. Yeah, I mean, he's playing great, but it's just like everybody on that team is 6'5".
Yeah, I don't have. Remember, they were my slick dark horse pick last year. I'm just not jumping on that train again.
Yeah, it's not. They don't have enough, killers on that team. Honestly, they just have everybody's like 6'5" and undersized.
And they had that run against the best in the Big East, UConn, St. John's, Creighton. You lost all three of them.
Lost
it scared me a little bit.
All three of them things, bro. 100%. So you do have Villanova, Marquette tonight, and then, like you said, Michigan State and Michigan. Michigan is a 3.5-point favorite. Michigan is a 3.5-point favorite.
Home. Yeah.
At home. Now, this Michigan State team has been interesting because they certainly don't pop off the page at you with their talent and ability. But they are sitting here at 21-5, and they are 15th at KenPom. Your best win of the year, though, if you're Memphis, somehow, Missouri at home. I mean, I would have never in a million years guessed that. I mean, sure, I could be wrong about Missouri being good, but did we think there in that moment that this would be the best win Memphis got all season with games against UConn coming up, with Michigan State, with Ole Miss, with Mississippi State, with Clemson? I mean, it's just crazy to me how good Missouri has played. and they're 20-6. But, yeah, Michigan State is 21-5, and KenPom's got it 76-74-L for the Spartans tonight.
Yeah, Missouri's 13 in KenPom ahead of Michigan State.
Yeah.
Really can't argue with you.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I mean, it really
is. That the best one in Missouri.
Now, you were fortunate, again, to catch them when you did, I think.
Oh, there's no question, because they didn't have Mitchell going or even knowing what was going on at that point. It was so early.
But once they hit, like...
Why didn't Duke keep him?
Well, they brought in Cooper Flagg and Malawach and Knipple, and I think he just kind of realized, like, I'm not going to be...
But they're saying how thin they could be now with this one well, big with the shoulder injury. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't seem like they had a ton of bodies. Yeah, Brown.
Yeah. But maybe he got a good NIL. Good deal to.
And I mean, he's been a stud for Gates here now that they're rolling.
They've got Arkansas on the road this weekend. Then they go to South Carolina. I mean, they could win four of their last five. They could.
I'm going to say I watched that scrappy effort by, I would call it pesky, against Auburn the other night. I like Billy Richmond the third there. They're playing him off the bench, but, man, he brings so much energy and length defensively, and he's probably playing enough where he's going to be fine with Stan and with the understanding Cal's going to, you know, he'll go to starter next year. But it looked like to me but both him and Givens. Going to be, you know, Givens is starting at LSU, so right. He's not going. Not that I've got my, you know, eye on these guys or hoping it goes wrong. I'm hoping it goes well for them. But what I saw of Trey Richmond, man, he's going to be good there. Mm-hmm. You've seen him on SportsCenter the last couple of weekends with these dunks. He's going to the hole now with no fear, and it's starting. You're starting to see it. He was always this dude, even when he was at East with all that other talent before he moved on. Always that dude that was great role player, but his time was coming. And so he's kind of taken – once he gets to that level, it takes him a second, and then he just explodes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, he's going to be a player for Arkansas next year.
Yeah, he is.
He only played like 18, 20 minutes maybe, but he was a factor, man. That guy, his energy level, he's a real one.
Yeah, tomorrow, it's a pretty damn good slate tomorrow. A&M hosting Tennessee. Does that interest you?
It does a little bit. I never know what I'm going to get with both teams.
Yeah.
You know, every time you want to think, okay, well, Buzz is turning the corner here. Wade has a bad game, and they look very beatable by anybody.
Yeah.
And then with Tennessee, we know the offense of late has been hit or miss. And so, yeah, defense always going to be there, but Tennessee can lose to anybody.
So you got – I'll just go through –
In the SEC.
I'll go through the best games tomorrow. Tennessee at A&M is the highest-ranked Torvik thrill, 91 out of 100.
I mean, A&M needs that one, feels like to me.
No question.
And if Tennessee doesn't get it, it can forget about being – all these folks are still trying to say because of where Tennessee is metrically, they got a shot at a top seed. I don't believe it.
No, because Houston.
Hmm. Florida. It's the folks that want to make it four
Florida,
SEC teams.
Auburn.
You're not going to be able to do it.
Houston, Duke. There's your four. I would be shocked if it's anything besides that. Kentucky at Alabama. That's a good one.
You could say that now because the Alabama loss. But before – or two, it's two losses,
it's
right?
It's two in a row.
But before, they were in the running.
Yeah, they were.
SEC team.
They were
top five. Yeah, they were the one. It was three SEC ones.
Yeah.
But you're right. Now it looks more like Duke and Houston. I'm with you.
Duke, Illinois, neutral site. That would have been it's still interesting. It'll be an interesting game.
Duke's come together. They should take care of business.
They just get
behind flag. It's a beauty to watch. Really, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
Well, Clemson is at SMU. That's interesting enough. Missouri at Arkansas.
Don't need Dennis to stub his toe.
Arkansas is now in the tournament. Don't look now, brother.
Dude, I'm telling you, they had Auburn. They were D'ing up. I mean, they'll defend you.
Yep.
If they ever get anything together offensive, it hurts that they lost Boogie. You know,
maybe
they got so much pressure on DeJuan. On his son, DJ.
Maybe
Wagner.
That helped them though, because Jonell Davis has played better since Boogie Flan's gone out.
Good call. He has done that. So, I saw the numbers.
I'm wondering if that night. Help them.
Might be a help.
Because they've been better.
They still
only
scored,
then.
What, 60 points in that game or whatever it was?
Yeah. I mean, it was ugly, but, defensively at the very least.
But they were playing their style. They had Auburn slowed down. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what, you know, he has half of the battle.
Iowa State at Houston.
Worked out.
That one interests you?
Nah, that's you, man. You're the Iowa State king.
I'm Houston. I'm all Houston, man.
Didn't you draft Iowa State? I thought they were one of your teams.
I wanted to draft Houston, though, but I couldn't take them first.
I'm right. You did. You had Iowa State.
My title draft was Auburn, Iowa State, Arizona. So, yes, I like that draft, brother.
How big a threat is FAU or not?
Who?
FAU.
Man, the folks just lost to Wichita last night at the house. As 8-point favorites.
Are they not the highest ranked team left? Are they not ranked higher than UAB?
Did Wichita State not overtake them last night?
No, I just meant in terms of what's left on your schedule. You've knocked out Wichita State. I mean, of the teams left on your schedule, is FAU not the highest ranked?
Yeah, they're 107 and then UAB's 112.
Okay. So if you don't believe this is a threat, you don't believe
here in Memphis. You know, Memphis is gonna lose the game to UAB. That's just the way it goes in college basketball.
No.
That's just how it goes.
No.
That's going to be their game of the year, bro.
I'll rebuke that. I do not accept
that's
that.
That's their. That's the only game they're going to care about for the rest of the year, bro.
King George is not going to accept that out of his mouth. No, you're not going to tell me that.
You know Luxembourg. That's Lindenborg.
That's
Luxembourg.
Back to 8-9 Lindenborg game,
Lindenborg is going
to
have 20 rebounds.
We are. They're not. Penny is not losing that game. You know why? Number one, because we're not playing Baraka.
Dude, you going to stop bullying him. You bullying him.
First off, you're not going to look me in the eye when you say that like you're my dad or something like
I'm
that.
Not,
like
I'm not look, the, I'm not looking like at you in the eye like you're
you,
I'm
you
your
You said
dad.
It like you're the authority or something,
no,
like I'm really going to stop.
I'm asking you as a friend.
You understand.
I'm asking you as a friend to stop bullying him.
Jason doesn't have personal agendas. You know that because
I
you know me.
I thought that until now with Baraka.
I showed you the plus minus on
no,
Baraka
it's damning,
in Wichita
State.
I'm
not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not defending Baraka.
For the love of God.
No, not for the love of God. Don't
just
say
play
that.
The young man is, I'm sure, a great young man.
All right, this is good. This is an improvement.
Why are we talking about the good things? I've said it before.
Now, let's talk about that. Like, he probably saves cats out of the tree, you know, like a firefighter.
He's a walking double-digit minus in plus minus.
That's,
he did it in 6 minutes.
That's a little much. That's extrapolated.
It was minus 11 in the few minutes he was out there, John. If this was the first time, I wouldn't do it. It's not about Baraka. It's about Penny.
Yeah. But see,
it's about Penny. This plea is to Penny.
I get it.
There's eight guys, dude.
But there is a
you
victim
you,
here.
You don't need to go past the eight. You can't go past the eight. Because,
right.
In fact, when
I,
you
look,
do,
I agree with you.
It has hurt you in losses. And Baraka, again, is the face of
Musa,
that.
Musa, Dante, and PJ, right? I mean,
those are the three.
I agree. I agree with that.
You don't need to go past that. If Dante doesn't have it, you got to pull him. Because Baraka can sink you and has in some of these instances. Again, the box score says it was 11, minus 11 that he was in the minutes. But it was 7-0 and 6-0. Yeah. I had it as minus 13. But my point, again, is not to single out Baraka and say, oh, and the Jason Johnson, Baraka, bad player. He's killing you. It's Penny. I thought we were past this. I thought we learned that against Arkansas State, you know, Mississippi State, that actually, no, he's not ready for this. And more importantly, it's the team's response around him. You know, like Sane was talking about with the Grizzlies, half the time you don't know who your guy is going to be on the floor next to you, and that's throwing you off.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It's more symbolic, John. It's stick to the eight. There doesn't need to be an experimentation when we know mm-hmm. how badly a loss in AAC play hurts you. And so, unless the game is already in hand and by 20, I do not see any good reason to deploy him.
Yeah,
your guys have gotten used to an 8-man rotation.
Yeah, listen, I don't know why you're picking on the guy that has
it's
the lowest effective
that.
Field goal percentage on the team, that has the lowest true shooting percentage on the team by a wide
Bro,
margin.
If I saw a modicum of hope or something that could help, I would say it.
His numbers are alarming, okay? But my job here is to make sure.
We keep throwing him out there.
And you know what happens? Memphis throws him out there, and then you get behind the wheel of the bus. And you run him over, and then you back up over him. He's been in the road for about 3 months now, right? And I mean,
he shouldn't be in the road anymore.
Well, somebody
exactly pull him out of the road.
What?
We already hit him. It cost us. That's on Penny.
Well, you can't say
he shouldn't
it's
still
Baraka
be in the
at
road.
The end of the, like Baraka was not the direct reason that they lost the game.
Again, I've told you this is not about Baraka. You're not hearing me.
It's
on
about
that.
It's
a microcosm of Penny still experimenting and thinking he can get things out
I
of guys that it's been shown at this point in the season you're not going to get it out of. Don't add to the discombobulation.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
I'm begging.
No, we don't need to see Baraka. We don't need to see Baraka. There's no argument.
We've now seen it in that
right.
It doesn't help in
right.
multiple instances. In fact, it hurts.
Right.
So just stick with the eight. You remember when you were playing the six, John? We were saying they got to find a seventh and eighth guy. There's too much on.
Yep.
And then you went and got Dante.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And then you've got now Musa playing off, and you've also got a PJ Carter in an increased role, and it's working.
Yep.
Stick with what's working.
That's true.
That's all we're saying. It's because now there's no margin for error.
Yep.
Now one more loss does put you back in 8-9. It undoes everything you did, all the good you did in non-conference.
Yep.
So that's why. But you should be moved. I mean, it's obvious at this point to me. stick with your guns.
I agree with that. I mean, I'm kind of just giving you a little grief for the.
Yeah,
I mean,
you're trying to make it a right.
Somebody's got to stick up for. Brock,
well, John's going to keep it light
tiger,
on a Friday.
Once a tiger, always a tiger.
And y'all understand this is not personal. This is about again.
I don't even have headphones. I mean, so
this is about circling
nothing
the wagon.
I do or say can be held against me today.
What would you say, batting down the hatches or whatever that phrase is?
Yeah,
it's about circling the wagons.
Right, and I guess we can't get Baraka on a SpaceX spaceship fast enough, can we? I mean, fire him right over to Mars.
I'm gonna trade him to Arkansas State.
I don't think they would do that deal
for Johnny.
I don't think they would do that deal, man. I mean,
he might be good in that league.
Yeah, look, I remember talking to people about Baraka before the season started. They were really excited about him because remember he started hurt. And
I remember I talked to somebody who used to coach him, and they said, man, he's a hell of a teammate, and energy's great. Man can't shoot.
No, he can't. I mean, that's why I just went through his true shooting percentage.
They said the man can't shoot. We were surprised at how badly they wanted him. That's what I got.
His effective
and
field goal
that's what we've seen, guys.
Is worse than Moussa's. So, I mean, by a wide margin, actually. You know,
this season is and these mistakes is not on one player, but again, we felt so good when you'd found that 8-man rotation because we'd always said Shorter's better for Penny, defined roles, guys know him better, but we again early in that first half, Brock is back out there. Hadn't seen him for a while. Didn't play in the previous game, John.
Right.
So why the heck we think he's going to help at Wichita State?
No, I agree with you. Now let me ask you this, a little trivia time. Who do you think has the best true shooting percentage on the team? Like, I'm not going to give you like a random, but like, who do you think has the highest true shooting percentage?
PJ Carter.
PJ Carter is correct. PJ Carter is correct. 63%. We're going to round that up, true shooting percentage, which says one thing, right? He needs more minutes.
Dude, that's the thing that's made the Baraka thing so frustrating. Is you found a couple of other guys that you needed, and PJ stepped into that role. It's been beautiful the way he's taken it and run with it.
You have two guys who are shooting above 60% true shooting, PJ Carter and?
PJ Carter, you're making me guess everything.
Yeah, there's two. There's one more. I mean, this would really prove you as a Memphis Tiger legend.
I'm
going
to go with Dane.
That's correct.
Bro.
Dane Danger is at 61.4% true shooting.
Get this man on Right or Than Right trivia.
Get
him on the trivia with Right.
Anytime I'm talking about Tiger basketball, as Drew Hill once noted, it's just all the right, what do you say, tones?
That's right.
Wow,
now, I do
remember
think,
it was so beautifully written.
I do think.
I need to memorize it.
I do
maybe
think
the
we need
kindest
to,
thing anyone's ever said about
PJ's 59.9. We probably need to round that up to 60, right?
Yeah, it has to go up.
So we'll have there's three. Three Tigers are shooting 60% or better with a true shooting percentage from the field.
I'll just throw another take out there. I'm a little worried that PJ Haggerty's percentages are so good from the outside that it's almost convinced him he doesn't have to go to the basket as much.
Yep.
And so we get a little we start to settle a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Saw some of that against Wichita State. Yes, the percentages are great, bro. I mean, it's been unbelievable what you went from last year to this year to 20s to 40s, and it's been consistent. But that getting to the free throw line has to be part of the game.
Yeah.
Because it's part of this offense. And so I just don't want him to get, to settle too often because it's such a big – getting to the hole is such a big part of his game and what makes your offense so deadly in terms of, trying to defend.
Yes, exactly right. And I also think another point on PJ is that he's 22nd in the country in minutes played. You know, that's another thing I think that's impacting.
Could be wearing, some of that selling might just be being tired, being
100%.
Worn down this whole season.
I
been
think
playing
that's
a ton
100%.
Of minutes. There ain't no question about it. Because at one time you were playing him, just playing six guys. He's getting 38, 40 minutes a game.
Yes. Yes, bro. It's,
so I can understand it adding
so
up.
So this week off I think will help him. I really do. I think this
Need
whole
it.
Entire week off will be good. But anyway, college basketball slate, it's good tomorrow. And then Memphis plays, obviously, on Sunday against FAU.
One more. So I thought this was interesting. There's been some funny pictures that have come as a result of it. And anybody who's followed, baseball for any amount of time probably has heard of the rule. Maybe you didn't know that it was still around and that the Yankees still had it. But they're changing their facial hair policy. Now, John couldn't be a Yankee.
Well, that's
right now.
Yes, I could.
No.
This is well-groomed, dude.
Because that's the key.
This is well groomed, dude.
John said the key words, and
you don't think I've already seen this.
I would say,
I'm up on game.
I would say that the Yankees would determine that Johns is not well groomed. Now, there's a time where they weren't going to let you do
anything.
The beard, any that, and that was previously. I think they had moved to mustache, but they had not moved to beards. You had to have a clean shaven face for the most part to be a Yankee. It's just part of it. And so now you will be able to have the beard, but only if it is well groomed. And so John is disqualified. George, I'm looking at you, and I'm saying you look like a Yankees catcher.
As a Rays fan, I'm not so
great.
Sure how much I like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think I knew, too, you were a Rays fan, so I didn't mean to attack you.
Yeah,
what the hell is wrong with you? No, man, you got a great beard, brother.
I appreciate that.
George has the kind of beard
I don't want to play for the Yankees.
That would be passed.
I don't want to play for the Yankees. I want to play
for
you'll
be over there
with the
A's with Rooker.
Yeah, me and Rooker get after it. The Rays, not the A's, right?
The Rays, yeah. Tampa.
Okay. Odd. We'll allow it. I think that it's a crazy policy.
That we still have this in 2025.
Yeah,
that would be part of the point.
You know? I mean, it's not that big a deal, I guess, but it's just workplace conduct. But imagine if Brad was trying to tell you that you couldn't have a goatee coming to work. You know what I mean? How dumb is that? It's ridiculous, you know? And I do think this is pretty well groomed. I mean, it's been worse, is what I would say. I do think I'd get approved. I mean, I think they might say, you know, clean it up a little bit on the side. But I do think, generally speaking, it would be approved by Brian Cashman. All right? It's a new day in baseball.
Yeah, one of these days I'll come around on your beard, I guess.
Yeah, keep praying about it.
I like how you just pull on that one blonde string in it.
That's right. Blonde, not gray.
Yeah.
Blonde.
You corrected me.
And then I saw yesterday while we're on the topic of baseball, which is always when, you know, my seasonal depression starts to set in, right? When baseball pitchers and catchers report and then we start to have, golf starts to be a thing again, it's the worst time of the year for me. Because it means that the best sports are ending. College basketball is ending. NBA's in that. They're on, you know. And I just don't enjoy baseball or golf. But I did see that baseball and ESPN are mutually parting ways. So I guess they're going to, streaming or something. Whenever that.
I didn't read that story, but I thought we're not renegotiations, not what we were heading for.
Yeah, they
for.
Mutually agreed to opt out of the deal. I think they'll finish this year, and then they'll, no more Sunday Night Baseball is the rub there. I mean, not that I think that's a big. People complain about ESPN's baseball coverage. They don't think it's that great anyway. So could take it somewhere that would do it the right way. I don't know. But yeah, it's the most diabolical time of the year. When baseball is about to start, I mean, you are a fan of a team and you don't even enjoy it. So, imagine where I'm at.
Call me a non-fan, but once
I'm not going to call you anything.
Once the Cubs got
the only
the
thing
title,
you're a non-fan of is Okoji.
Once the 100-year drought was done and they disbanded that team, I just what's the point?
Yeah,
I got my title.
You got it.
You took my team away from me.
That's right.
Why am I going to keep rooting? Why am I going to keep watching baseball?
Now, I will say this: as I've talked about before, we went to the Cubs game last year when they played the Reds.
Yeah, you had a ball.
Had a great time.
Everybody does, dude. This is not new. This is not breaking news.
It was also because I was drinking.
Everybody drinks at Wrigley. This is also not breaking news.
But if I have to drink to enjoy it, am I enjoying it or am I just drinking? You know, some people were asking.
Wrigleyville is a party. The whole thing.
It is
outside
that.
The stadium. The whole bar scene outside of it. All those blocks. That's part of the experience, bro. And so, I mean, it's almost, yeah, I mean, that you were part of the culture out there.
Right.
And you're going to, you're going to enjoy it one way or the other.
Right.
It's hard to have a bad time in Wrigleyville.
Yes, it is.
Even if you're rooting against the Cubs.
Well, we'll see. You know, last year, my wife's trip took us to Chicago, work for work. Let's see where we go this year. We may go to Philly. We may go to Arizona. We may go to Tampa Bay to see a Rays game, that storied franchise. You know, we may take a detour to Raymond James, and we may say hello. Didn't the Tampa Bay stadium get destroyed?
Yeah, the roof got taken off Tropicana, so they're playing down there. Actually, I hate it, but they're playing at Steinbrenner, Yankees minor league stadium.
Oh wow, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, might do that. You know, you just never know, man. You never know what I might do this year. But yeah, it's a new era for baseball. No more anti-beard policy in New York. Love it.
Can we, when we get back, talk about Court of Gold?
Sure. Because some of us were on the wrong side of history. And I'm getting the sense.
If you had told me, and I don't think, maybe.
No, I don't,
maybe
don't make this.
You
I know
buried
where you're going.
The lead.
Dude.
And if you had told me that initially, I'd have been up on this from the get-go.
Everything.
And I'd have known how good this was going to be.
Everything cannot be.
It's true. I will explain to you after the break. There's a reason.
No, there is a reason. It's when you hear it, you're going to be like, of course he likes it now.
Look at the world. The world responded, didn't it? We're going to talk about this when we get back.
For 8 years, Jason and John, are you trying to find ESPN?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going down, down, early around, sugar, we're going down, swinging. Yeah, you didn't know I had that range. And that's okay, Jason. I surprise people every day. I might move, man. I might take my talents.
Gotta clear your throat first.
To Hollywood. And if I ever do, I know who I'm calling to help me with the move. That's Black Tie Movement. 316-6196 is the phone number. They can help you whether you're moving in town, out of town, cross town, cross country. Call them. They're going to show up when they say they're going to show up. They're going to stay on budget. You're going to be glad you did it. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Black Tie Moving, Change and Moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. Can you name this band, by the way?
No chance? I'm sure King George can.
Oh, of course you. King George can.
Well, that's who the folks want it from.
Yeah, he could see it. But
it's not a game.
Okay, so you're not even going to fancy a guess.
I'm not.
All right, well, it's Fallout Boy, all right?
It took me the rest of my life to guess Fallout Boy.
Yeah, well, we don't have to worry about that. Now, let's hope that Memphis will not go down swinging the rest of the way, all right? Shaq Goodwin, you should know Fallout Boy because Shaq Goodwin once came out to this song.
Really?
For Memphis Madness.
Good call. I would have never remembered that.
But that's a perfect Shaq Goodwin move to come out to Fallout Boy, you know? That was who he was. Former high school football kicker at 6'9", 275 pounds. So, yeah, that would sum him up.
A bit of a wildflower.
He was. Good man, but super talented, too. But he was out there, no question about that. Okay, Penny Hardaway is talking to the media as we speak. Memphis, of course, getting ready for the game on Sunday against FAU. And according to Jason Munns, Penny Hardaway said, if we were 26-0, I feel like we would still be a 6 seed. Obviously, venting and voicing some frustration
And we get it.
Yeah.
Because we're just as frustrated with where Memphis is metrically.
Yeah. Penny said, a win isn't just a win anymore. That is correct. You know, it's everything is graded. Wins are not created equally. Losses are not created equally. In college basketball, he says he's learned that you want to be playing your best basketball in March in every other league except the AAC.
Okay, I'm trying to figure that out.
I know.
Hold on.
He's learned that you want to be playing your best basketball in March. And I think what he's
because
saying is
it won't matter in the AAC that you're playing your best basketball.
I think he's saying you have to be playing your best basketball in the AAC in like January because you can't slip up, basically. I think that's what he's saying. But I'm not there, so I don't. I'd like to follow up on that, but I can't. Also, Penny Hardaway was named, I don't think surprisingly, to the Naismith Midseason Coach of the Year watch list.
Good for him.
Which includes names like Greg Gard, thank you, George, Dennis Gates, Todd Golden, Tom Izzo, Pat Kelsey, Dusty May, Grant McCaslin, Ben McCollum, Matt Painter, Bruce Pearl, Rick Pitino, Richard Pitino, Kelvin Sampson, and John Shire. How about that? That's good company for Penny Hardaway.
No, I mean, dude, it was how we were feeling when we got out of here, last week. You know, you'd gotten the win against South Florida. What was it at that point? 8 in a row? I mean, and everybody we talked to bringing on, would tell you man for man that Penny Hardaway doing a great job. Clearly, I mean, yes, picked second in the AAC, looking like they're going to be first. You know, it's not a deal like we're St. John's where you're picked fifth and going to finish first. But clearly, new roster, entirely new roster except for Nick Jourdain. And to be the class of the AAC, it's a heck of a job. What my point is, it's so unfortunate that we have to sort of change the level of urgency or change that tone, because what it still is a great job by Penny. It's just unfortunate you go out there, you don't take care of business against Wichita State, and you're sliding 3 seed lines according to some. You're sliding 2 seed lines according to most. And so, again, it in the same breath can say he's doing a great job, and yet, you know, it's still such a challenge because you lose one more of these. Nobody's gonna be having him in this conversation, you know, not realistically. You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you've lost 3 AAC games that have then dropped you outside of the top 50. It's unfortunate that it has to be like that.
Yeah.
But it's the job at Memphis. He clearly gets it. But I can completely understand his frustration with it.
Right.
Because you literally can't put together a more competitive non-conference schedule, and you don't control what UAB's doing. What these teams that really the teams that are underperforming, you mm-hmm. know, including UAB, you don't control that. I mean, you don't that's your conference. So I can get the frustration. You just have to control what you can. And frankly, it's not losing to teams like Wichita State or for that matter, Florida Atlantic this weekend.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
he's doing a great job.
No, he's doing
he will ultimately not end up on these lists because these few losses, they just cost Memphis so much, unfortunately. From the national perspective.
I mean, I've only been 2. I mean, that's the thing that stinks, you know? It's not like
yeah, it's
lost
a great, it's a good year in the AAC, especially compared to what we've seen recently. And it only, you know, as far as I can tell, it's the best start since Josh went undefeated through CUSA. And then you got to go back to Cal. So,
yeah.
Still a great season, but that said, you can't lose anymore.
Yeah, so.
Probably be back to, well, without being back to 8-9
yeah.
In terms of seeding, probably.
You know what's interesting about those Josh years is, like, going back to.
He never got higher than a 6, right?
Correct. Even though, believe it or not, in 2011-12, he was 12th at KenPom. Memphis, he had Memphis 12th at KenPom, and they were freaking 8th seed. And of course, they got matched up against St. Louis, who was a somehow 9-seeded team, but 14 at KenPom. I mean, that's sickening. I think the next highest 9-seed. After St. Louis, bro, at KenPom was Alabama at 27.
Mm.
And you got the 14th team at KenPom. That was kind of nuts. But I actually went through this yesterday. I'll be honest. Josh called me. Josh called me yesterday. And he wanted to know how good or bad his leagues were at KenPom that we used to say were so bad. And, like, it was fairly eye-opening, honestly. Looking back at those CUSA seasons, because you go back 2009, 2010, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams in his first year in the top 100 at KenPom. In 2011, the next year, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in top 100 at KenPom. Year after that, 1, 2, 3, 4. Year after that, only 2, so 2012-13.
I was going to say, when it got to 13 and he went undefeated, there ain't many
that
top
was the worst
100s
one.
In there.
That was the worst one. And then, of course, they left for the American after that. But I would have never thought that in Josh's first year there were seven teams in the top 100 at KenPom, compared to this year, where there's only two teams in the top 100. That was Josh's worst year, and they did go undefeated that year, 31-5. You know, it just kind of, it does open your eyes a bit to how damn terrible this conference is. But yeah, it was much better, and it was better under Cal too. Same, like it was, if you go back and look at the Cal years, it's the USA.
I'm looking at one right now where it's just three.
Yeah,
and they got a one seed.
Yes. I mean, because you know they just ran through everybody. That's true. I mean, they.
I'm just saying that that's you will never get that sort of
no dominance.
Not just dominance. That goes without saying. I'm just saying when you were dominating a bad league and you did it for years. You still got the benefit of the doubt because Cal's non-conference weren't so much better than Penny's this year that it takes you to 1-2 type seeding. You understand what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. This is the fourth toughest non-conference schedule you put together. That's what Penny's done.
Yep.
But if you compare those Cal non-conferences to Penny's, Penny's is favorable, man. But you'll never get. I think it's maybe it's just a result of what they think about Memphis now all these years later following that dominance. You know, we said Josh never got higher than a six. You know, Penny, at one point, we're hoping for a five. But the fact is, you could be probably looking at a six, seven, whatever it is, if you can run this off and finish it straight. My point is, you're just not even running this conference. Say you had zero losses. You ain't getting back to a one or two seed. Not Memphis. They're not going to allow you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The metrics ain't going to allow you to do it. I just think those days are behind you.
Right, right.
You know, Cal did what, 1-2, 1-2?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those weren't great leagues, bro.
No, they were not. They were certainly not great leagues.
And when you started off doing it, it's not like he hadn't, this was the beginning of the dominance. You know, he got the one seed, whatever that first year that it all started with.
Mm-hmm.
It's my point. He wasn't getting my point then, they looked at you in a different way and were willing to give you something that now I think is
right.
Next to impossible for Memphis to get.
Yes, yes.
Unless it's running an undefeated season.
Yeah, and even then, I mean, they're gonna still poke holes in you. You know, they're gonna say you did it against a weak league. So could you get a two seed? You know, but I don't think a one seed would be. I mean, maybe I don't know. It would depend on your predictives. You know, but I don't think it would be a guarantee that Memphis would be a one seed.
Yeah, Cal was a 1-06, a 2-07, a 1 again in 08 when they went, and a 2-09.
Right.
Now, that was 4-loss, 4-loss, 2-loss, 4-loss.
Mm-hmm. And really, it was only one loss the one
but,
year.
But just if it was just take the Wichita State loss, you weren't close to this, you know, and that's where Cal was with 4-4-4 losses and then the 1-2 year. You know, your Penny had, what, 4 losses before this Wichita State one?
Mm-hmm.
And you weren't close to this sort of, this kind of regard. So I'm just saying those days are done.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting to kind of hear, you know, Penny's frustration is starting to mount because before the season started, he, you know, when the Pac-12 thing came and went, I remember him distinctly saying, you know, we need to stay in the AAC. You know, he said that. He was a big proponent of being in the league, and it feels like now the pendulum has kind of swung the other way because he's realizing, like, you know, amidst a great season, he's getting hurt. He's getting dinged for losing two games
mm-hmm.
in this league, which is nothing. That's nothing. I mean, yeah, we could say they shouldn't have lost, but they were both road games. They were both road games, you know, at the time, you know, what one's now a quad two win, one was a quad two, or excuse me, a quad two loss, and one was a quad two loss. You know, like, it's just not that big of a deal, but it is. It is. It's not supposed to be, but it is. And so, you know, again, we'll just continue to pray every night that someone saves us. That's what we'll continue to do. But that's all we can do right now is just pray that somebody comes saves us and that it makes sense for everybody involved. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you can still, like, I think this is still a separate conversation of Memphis can still be very much live in the tournament. Like, don't underseeded, sure, but still very much comfortable with the matchup that they're in. It's not like, oh, my gosh, like, it's just you're playing the probabilities is all. You're less likely to go to a Sweet 16.
Yeah, John and I just look for the easiest path to a second weekend.
That's it.
To really getting this thing, you know, back to a level of excitement that we haven't seen around here in a while. It's what we've been writing about and talking about for the last 10 to 12
years. I mean, NC State made the Final Fours in 11 last year. So, you know, the point is that it can be done. Certainly, it doesn't preclude you from going.
No.
But it's just like the path of least resistance is what you always want. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you want to be a one seed, because you basically have a cakewalk to the Sweet 16. You know, you have you're playing a four in the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite Eight. You know, you're not seeing somebody that's on your level, conceivably, until the Final Four, right? So,
that's we've seen it the last two times, being an 8 and a 9. You're scheduled to take on the one. You did 1 year, and the next was a historic upset that you're not going to see in most years.
Correct.
You would have typically gotten Purdue.
Yep.
And there's not that chance,
right?
Not as good a chance to get to the second weekend.
Yeah.
That and for me, it's about that. It's about maximizing what you can get out of this year. Penny trying to get belief. Dr. Scott, the new athletic director, talking about believers, you get more of that. You get more people wanting to pour in when you do something special.
Absolutely.
And you haven't done it since 2009, so we know this would be special, not just for Penny, but obviously everybody. You would get feelings you haven't felt since Cal.
100%.
And so that's a level of growth and excitement that, you know, you can only maximize on and cash in on if you go get it. Like, you miss out on that.
Yep.
So that's a you know, it's a costly loss.
Yes, it is.
Because John and I would tell you, you've got a roster that could do it.
Yeah.
So long as you get the right path.
I mean, because, like, think about it. That team, there's two teams, right? There's two tournament appearances. The 8-9 game where you lose to FAU, I mean, they're on your level, clearly. They go to the Final freaking four. So that's what you want to avoid.
Playing Tennessee in the Sweet 16, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's where you were headed.
Yeah. But that's the problem, right? You see teams on your level in that first game, if you're in the 8-9.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, the first round.
And so that, you know, and then even if you do, like they did against Boise State, get past them, well, you run a smack dab into the freaking Gonzaga.
Who, after playing them great in the first half, ran off from you in the second because they're the freaking one seed.
That's right.
Who's with my guy? Drew Timmy. Drew Timmy.
Bro, he went
got
Bill
loose
Walton
in
on
the
you.
Second half.
So
he's a one seed.
Again.
So John and I just trying to maximize y'all. That's
right.
Why we talk so much about getting something other than an 8-9.
Because,
better than an 8-9.
If you want to put it in the freaking pot and just boil it all the way down to the bare bones, yes, it's about winning. Just win. But it's a lot easier to just win when you have the talent advantage. You know, when you have the seed advantage.
Can win more.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
We're trying to win at a higher level.
And if you've already gotten to this point where you're 21-5, like, a season that we didn't expect it would be anywhere close to as good as it is.
So it's there to be had.
Maximize.
Let's go get it.
Maximize. Because who knows what it could look like next year.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you could hopefully get Haggerty back, you know.
Dude, just think about if you make a Sweet 16, you know, you're obviously hoping to get Haggerty back. But just the kind of excitement that's around that, and then what else you attract to put with him.
Yes, the residuals.
When you're there, that's what I'm saying. There is much to be gained for a run to the second
season
weekend.
Season tickets, recruiting, bro, you would have this thing back.
Yeah, Penny can sell all day long. Hey, tournament three of the last 4 years. I've made it. We've stabilized. I've got a solid thing going. Hey, I'll come get you the NBA. That's still a great pitch. But if you've made the run to the 16.
Now you got it all.
Now you got it all. You one of the hottest things in college basketball.
NIL, tournament success.
Exactly.
Doesn't
matter. We're in a bad league. Oh, by the way, you're going to come here and you're going to kill this league.
Yes.
We're still going to put you in a position where you're going to be on the tournament stage. We're going to go deep.
And
we just
get your numbers
last
up.
Year.
I mean, all
up.
Of it.
Yeah, you're playing against an AAC. What that means for you is your numbers going to go through the roof. Look, P.J. Hackerty.
Tyrese Hunter.
How we got them things. Tyrese Hunter. I mean, it's a different. What you're selling is different
it
if
is
you're making a Sweet
no
16.
Doubt.
And so that's why y'all
it
hear
is.
The focus from us. It's not whining. It's really wanting the best for Memphis.
100%.
And so, yeah, that's why our urgency levels up.
Because I was thinking about, and we're going to take a break in just a second, George, but I was thinking about this, you know, a couple weeks ago.